Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, welcome back to the programme. Keep your messages coming in to us to the usual sources, 0833 97 97 97 on the text and the WhatsApp, email studio@kfmradio.com, or indeed you can call us on 045 898 999. Let's go back to that story then that we were talking about. Obviously, tragic, tragic story over in the United States. A gunman killing at least 19 children and two adults at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas on Tuesday, named as 18-year-old Salvador Ramos. And speaking in the Senate in the last 12 hours or so, Senator Chris Murphy had this to say, and a very empowering speech it was as well.
What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? Why do you spend all this time running for the United States Senate? Why do you go through all the hassle of getting this job, of putting yourself in a position of authority, if your answer is that as this slaughter increases, as our kids run for their lives, we do nothing? What are we doing? Why are you here if not to solve a problem as existential as this? This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day. Nowhere else do parents have to talk to their kids, as I have had to do, about why they got locked into a bathroom and told to be quiet for 5 minutes just in case a bad man entered that building. Nowhere else does that happen except here in the United States of America. And it is a choice. It is our choice to let it continue. What are we doing? In Sandy Hook Elementary School, after those kids came back into those classrooms, they had to adopt a practice in which there would be a safe word that the kids would say if they started to get thoughts in their brain about what they saw that day, if they started to get nightmares during the day, reliving stepping over their classmates' bodies as they tried to flee the school. In one classroom, that word was monkey. And over and over and over through the day, kids would stand up and yell monkey, and a teacher or a paraprofessional would have to go over to that kid, take them out of the classroom, talk to them about what they had seen, work them through their issues. Sandy Hook will never, ever be the same. This community in Texas will never, ever be the same. Why? Why are we here? If not to try to make sure that fewer schools and fewer communities go through what Sandy Hook has gone through, what Uvalde is going through. Our heart is breaking for these families. Every ounce of love and thoughts and prayers we can send, we are sending. But I'm here on this floor to beg, to literally get down on my hands and knees and beg my colleagues. Find a path forward here. Work with us to find a way to pass laws that make this less likely. I understand my Republican colleagues will not agree to everything that I may support, but there is a common denominator that we can find. There is a place where we can achieve agreement that may not guarantee America never, ever again sees a mass shooting, that may not overnight cut in half the number of murders that happen in America. It will not solve the problem of American violence by itself. But by doing something, we at least stop sending this quiet message of endorsement to these killers whose brains are breaking, who see the highest levels of government doing nothing, shooting after shooting.
Yeah, that is Senator Chris Murphy speaking in the Senate in the last 12 hours or so following that shooting in Texas. And you can just hear the pain in his voice. A very, very emotional and moving speech indeed. As we said, 19 children killed and two teachers as well. And as soon as we get more on that, we'll bring it to you here on KFM. But moving on, and complaints to the Ombudsman about public services such as those provided by government departments, local authorities and the HSE reached a record high in 2021. Recently appointed Ombudsman Ger Deering said that 4,004 complaints were received by his office, a 17% increase on 2020 and the highest ever in the 38-year history of the Ombudsman. And Ger Deering is on the line now. Ger, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, thank you very much, Owen.
So a significant increase there, and I suppose the first question to start off with is, what is the most common thing that's complained about by people?
Okay, well, the increase is driven, as it happens, by the increase in complaints against local authorities. We had a 45% increase in the number of complaints against local authorities, which is quite extraordinary in any one year. And the main area driving those complaints happens to be housing, which maybe is not surprising in some respects, and also planning.
Okay, and there were 227 complaints made to the office about Dublin City Council, 101 complaints about Cork City Council, and 70 about Limerick City and County Council. That was, as you said, the largest proportion of the increase, 1,290 complaints. A 26% increase, though, Ger, in complaints about the health sector. That's up to 796.
Yes, and again, I suppose, given that we were dealing with a pandemic over the last 2 years, it's maybe not surprising that we had an increase in that area. Overall, we've a decrease in the number of complaints, say, against public bodies, public departments. But as you say, there is an increase in that area. The HSE have put in a very good system of dealing with complaints, so we're happy that they are actually learning from the complaints. And this is what we want all organisations to do, all public bodies, is to, you know, engage with complainants, actively engage with complainants to understand what the issues are and learn from those complaints. Feedback is a really important part of delivering any service. And if we can get public bodies to engage better with their customers and to understand what the issues are, it can be a significant help in actually changing things and improving the quality of service for other customers.
Indeed, 325 complaints about HSE services, including 105 complaints about primary and community care, and 56 about treatment abroad and cross-border directive schemes. Tusla was the subject of 118 complaints to the Ombudsman. Government departments and offices, Ger, complaints there down 12% on 2020, down to 1,066.
We welcome that, and that is an indication. If you take particularly the Department of Social Protection, who had a decrease down to 579 from 735, and they would have been again at the coalface of the pandemic in terms of dealing with additional claims. So it is due to their hard work that they managed to reduce those complaints. And we work in two ways with public bodies. Obviously, we deal with complaints and we investigate complaints, but we also work with them to try and get them to improve how they actually deal with their customers. And one of the powers of this office is to carry out own initiative investigations. So in other words, in an area where we determine or detect that there may be a broader problem than just the complaints we're dealing with, I can initiate an investigation on my own initiative that would look in great detail at what's happening in those areas. And my predecessor in particular, Peter Tindall, did a number of those in health areas and a number of areas where there was great learning, and the public bodies accepted all of the recommendations of those reports, and we're working with them to implement those. And they range across a whole range of things in the health service, such as hospital care, unfortunately the area where people pass away in hospitals. We were receiving complaints in that area, and since the investigation we did in that area, the recommendations we've made, there have been great improvements in how people are dealt with at this particularly sensitive time. Another area that was we did an investigation was the number of young people living in nursing homes, or, you know, inappropriately so and unnecessarily in nursing homes, and the Department of Health committed, and the HSE, to implementing the recommendations and are working towards moving those people out of nursing homes into more suitable accommodation. So you can see that there are many people who maybe never make a complaint to this office who benefit from the services of the office.
The passport office as well, Ger, I note that the Ombudsman yourself criticising the passport service of the Department of Foreign Affairs because there was a significant increase in complaints about or to your department in 2021, and the bulk of those relating to delays in processing first-time passport applications. We've heard about this time and time again over the last couple of years, probably exacerbated by the COVID pandemic, but still the waiting lists are quite long.
Yes, we received 89 complaints in 2021, and already this year we've received 133 complaints. In fact, in May of this year alone, so far we've received 73 complaints. So this is a real live issue, as you can imagine. And one of the things that we find in all complaints, a common denominator is communication. And we accept that, you know, the passport office is facing particular challenges in terms of dealing with the volumes of complaints or the volume of applications it's dealing with. But the real problem we're seeing is people are unable to communicate and know. So if you have a trip coming up in the next couple of weeks, and some of these, of course, holidays are very important, but even more important, there are some people trying to visit their families. They're bringing newborn babies that for the first time are going to maybe meet their grandparents. And they need to know, are they going to have a passport in 3 weeks' time or 6 weeks' time or whatever the time is? And they're unable to contact the passport office. And, you know, if there was improved communication, I think that should help matters. And the other issue I noticed that we're hearing in the last couple of days is that something like 40% of the applications are incorrect. There are mistakes or there are errors or there are omissions in those. Well, I think the passport office then needs to look at its procedures if that's the case. If that many people are unable to follow the process, maybe they need to look at better communication and explaining the process better.
And Ger, if I might come in here, Clem here in studio, I noticed in your report that the top five bodies complained about, well, basically overall, there's been a 45% increase in complaints regarding local authorities. 227 Dublin City Council, 101 Cork City Council, 70 Limerick, 64 Fingal, 58 in South Dublin County Council. I know there's been 126 complaints generally out of Kildare, but local authorities, what basically is going on there that there are so many complaints against them?
The two key areas, Clem, are housing and planning. And in the housing area, it ranges from people's position on the housing list or how they're being assessed for housing, and also the communications that they're receiving from local authorities around housing. In the planning, it's generally around enforcement. The highest number of complaints are around enforcement. Now, we have those kind of complaints on both sides. Mm-hmm. Some people are complaining that something is being enforced against them, and other people may be complaining that, in fact, a planning regulation or planning decision is not being correctly enforced.
I don't know if Ger has... I was doing a couple of things here technically in the background, so I'm not sure. Regarding direct provision, Ger, whether Owen has covered that with you, about the top three bodies complained are 40 complaints regarding International Protection Accommodation Service, 27 regarding direct provision centres, and 6 regarding the Irish Refugee Protection Programme. That'll, of course, all turn into focus now with the war in Ukraine and so many refugees coming to this country.
Yes, now we have to say there has been a big improvement. This office started dealing with complaints about direct provision in 2017, and we've done considerable outreach, and we've actually visited all centres and received complaints and dealt with them firsthand. So I'm happy to say that while we have dealt with a considerable number of complaints in that area last year, we detect a considerable improvement. Now, as you say, I think this is all going to come back into focus now, and you know, a lot of government agencies, and in fairness, local authorities are very much at the forefront in terms of providing housing or accommodation of whatever they can to the unfortunate refugees coming from Ukraine. But I am happy to report significant progress in the area of direct provision and significant improvements. And I also welcome the government's policy of actually moving people out of direct provision over the coming year.
I see, for example, that the number of complaints has reduced from 61 in 2021. Previously, 161 complaints were received in 2019. So significant progress in that area. Chair, it's a very comprehensive report. Huge engagement. Are you encouraged or discouraged regarding the significant rise overall in the number of engagements with your office? 4,004 complaints received by the office, a 17% increase in 2020.
Yeah, and I should also say we had a very significant 65% increase in actual inquiries, up to over 6,000. I'm pleased with the engagement. I mean, we want people to engage with us. We want, it's all about improving the quality of our public services right throughout the country, from government departments to local authorities to health. So the more we hear, and I'm encouraging people to give feedback, good feedback, positive feedback and complaints to their public body. And it's important that they would engage with the public body before they actually come to us as well.
Yeah, just one final point, Chair, because I know the demands on your schedule today with the report and so forth just been published today. The whole area of nursing homes, I'm intrigued by one of the case summaries. Again, not sure if one has referenced this with you. A nursing home refusing to respond in writing to a family's complaint about a mother who left the home and citing GDPR. How can that be?
Well, you'll see from the outcome of that complaint that that wasn't actually the correct approach. Yes, initially that nursing home refused to engage with the family at all. Then they refused to engage with the family and give them an explanation in writing. And then indeed they refused to engage with us, but we pointed out that they had a legal requirement to engage with us. And I'm happy to report that they actually... The interesting thing there, Clem, was that they had actually done an investigation into the matter. They had dealt with it reasonably well, but going back to communication, they refused to communicate the outcome of that with the family. Ultimately, they did communicate in writing with the family what the outcome of the investigation was. But it is an area where people need to understand that these are very sensitive issues, and families need to be given information about their loved ones. And I do accept that there have to be nominated people. Nursing homes, if you have a big family and a lot of people contacting them, they need a point of contact. But they should give, in my view, the outcome of any investigation and anything they do should be given in writing to the appropriate family member.
It's a considerable report, I have to say, and people can read it indeed by going onto your website, ombudsman.ie. It's only just been released this morning, headlined Improvement in Public Services, and the headline figure, 4,004 complaints received by the Ombudsman's Office, a 17% increase in 2020, and the highest ever in the 38-year history of the Ombudsman. I suppose, Chair, finally, just to put a positive note on it, it just indicates a much greater awareness about the services your office offers.
It does. It's good that people know, and it's good that people can come to us, and it's good that we can actually resolve these complaints and help public bodies to improve their services.
Indeed. That's the Ombudsman, Chair Deering, on his report 2020. Thank you so much, Chair, for joining us this morning, and best wishes in dealing with those complaints across the public service. Chair Deering, the Ombudsman, as we say, his report just out this very, very day. And again, to remind you some of the statistics of it, in case you were just wondering, by the way, I've been dealing with a technical problem here in the studios, and fair play to Owen and Kira for picking up the slack on that particular one. But that report, Ombudsman.ie, 4,004 complaints last year, the highest to date, a 17% increase, 3,961 complaints completed. The time taken to examine cases and complaints, 75% were completed within 3 months, 89% within 6 months, 6,125 inquiries, as Chair said, 851 complaints were passed on to other bodies, and basically upheld or partially upheld 22% of complaints, assistance provided in 25% of cases, and complaints not upheld, over half them, 53%. You can make your complaints online, by phone, by email, by letter, or even in person, and you can get all the information on ombudsman.ie. That's the website.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Couple of messages coming in. Gráinne, I won't give your second name, Gráinne, to spare you a bit of a giggle, but I see you're saying that you sent an email to darrenskfm.co.za for a request for the breakfast show. That email is for a radio station in South Africa. Actually in Zambia. There's a KFM in South Africa, there's a KFM in Zambia. I don't know if you got your breakfast request played in Zambia, in Africa this morning. And by the way, speaking of Africa, it's Africa Day. The contact details for us here are, and there's a KFM radio in Chicago and there's one or two around the world. It's always important, if you're looking to download the KFM app, that you, when you go into the App Store or indeed the Android Store, that you search Kildare's KFM to make sure that you get us. But for your information again, the way to contact us here is you can email studio@kfmradio.com. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. That's our text or WhatsApp, 0833 97 97 97, or you can email studio@kfmradio.com. We have a couple of other messages coming in, but I'll get to those in a moment, because Ciara is now joined by Councillor Bernard Caldwell. Of the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Ciara.
Yeah, and of Fianna Fáil. Good morning, Bernard. We're going to begin... Oh, apologies.
Clem had a mouthful there after that.
He surely had, yeah.
Good morning, Bernard. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me. So you asked at your meeting, did the council have an update on the parking arrangements in the MD, that's Selbridge Leixlip, post-COVID-19?
Yeah, you know, as we all know, when COVID came in, Kildare County Council kindly changed parking before and after arrangements. It used to be 15 minutes, but when COVID came in, it was 30 minutes before you were due to put your money in, and when your time is up, you had 30 minutes then to leave. And they confirmed that that rule is still there. So a lot of people weren't too sure about it. Yeah, they've agreed to it. So, it's,
so a 30-minute wait period, both ends of your ticket.
30 minutes beforehand, and you have 20 minutes, you're gone, yeah.
Brilliant.
Which is quite good. But that will be changed. They're reviewing it, so it'll be changed shortly. So people just want to be careful.
So it may be changed back to 15, is that what you're saying?
Oh, it will eventually, yeah. Okay. But not today or tomorrow, but it will be eventually.
Just keep an eye out on the top of the little pay stations. It does note...
I don't think it says it on that, and that's the problem. You know, but I mean, look, I put it up on my social media page. I'm sure other people will do the same, so...
Okay. Okay. I do know in Newbridge anyway, it says the observation period. So maybe Selbridge Leixlip is similar, but keep an eye out, as Bernard has noted. You also asked for an update on progress made regarding the playground. That's at Leixlip Amenity Centre.
Yeah, look, this playground is going on and on and on for the last number of years, what's happening. But I do know there's changes in the around the entrance into the amenities. And I think it's going to affect the playground. So what's being suggested is now, is move the playground where it is now currently to another site on the amenities, which is bigger and probably better. So over the next few weeks, we'll have that confirmed. And hopefully now, really, really hopefully, by the end of summer, we'll see progress on our playground, because it's the only one we have in the league. And, you know, the current one is sufficient, but it needs upgrading. It's been there for the last 15 years. The money is there to do it. So look, we're working away on that. Hopefully we can come to a conclusion with the council and the amenities. And I think that's going to happen.
Bernard, you asked about an upgrade of the Shillican Lane. That's from Glendale entrance to the bottom of Mill Lane. What was your response?
Yeah. My response is quite good, actually, because I tell you, this is a lane, I hate calling it a lane. It's a thoroughfare between the bottom of Leixlip Village and up to Glendale Meadows. It's used by a lot of people, and we've been putting money into it in bits and pieces, and work's been done. We need a proper job done on it, because a lot of people use it. It's used by people that... you know, bogies with wheelchairs and so on. So look, I think the council are beginning to realise the importance of this laneway, as they call it. And I think, maybe not this year, but work will be done on it to make it a proper way up and down through the village.
And Bernard, you also asked the council to put in place a warning sign, a school warning sign. This is at the Steps area in River Forest in Leixlip.
Yeah, look, this is not a big deal really, but I was asked by the residents in there to put a warning sign, because a lot of people kind of use it as... to go a bit quick along there, and just maybe when the school is kind of closing or opening in the morning time, that there'll be a warning sign to remind the residents and the people travelling up and down that there's a school there. The council are going to do that, so yeah, that's okay.
I appreciate your time this morning, Councillor Bernard Caldwell of Fianna Fáil and Selbridge Leixlip. Thank you.
Thank you both for that. Now, a couple of messages coming in regarding to the interview with Ger Deering. Would you ask Mr. Deering why the Ombudsman does not publish all the full reports of all complaints made and investigated by the office, and how that is consistent with the culture of openness and transparency? Also, why would an Ombudsman be looking for greater privacy powers and powers to hold complainants in contempt of court for going to the media? Whose interest does a culture of secrecy protect most, the complainant or the public body? Well, regarding, not your latter points there, but the earlier points about publishing complaints in full. You know, 4,500 of them. I'm not sure it's practical to do that. But also there is GDPR comes into play, as you heard during the course of the interview. And our interview with Chair was a little bit disrupted because we had a serious technical problem here regarding the studio, which Ciara and Owen took up going on air while Clem was very busy under the table plugging wires and unplugging wires and this, that and the other to get our systems back up and running again. Fire Brigade stuff, as they say, but we're back now and everything is hunky-dory, all systems go. How many times do I have to tell you this island is going down the tubes, says Joe. Says Jay. The country is a disaster for everything. Well, that's very, very pessimistic, I have to say. I don't think we're going down the tubes. Can't agree with you there. Clem, following my recent travel around the EU countries, I'm intrigued as to why we have so many consumer quangos at the taxpayers' expense and such silence from them. A can of Dove deodorant, €6 in the supermarket here, €1.45 in a small island in Mallorca in Spain. Yes, Breda. And I was talking to somebody this morning who told me they have a backache and that Voltarol, that you can buy a tube of Voltarol for €2.50 in Spain, and I don't know what they said the charge of it here was, €12 or something. Now, I'm open to just a bit of correction on the overall charge, but there was a mountain of difference. And in the past, I've spoken about, you know, the old cold sores that we all get, unfortunately, the herpes virus on the lip. A tube of that here, a tiny little tube, 5 mils, will cost you between €8 and €10. Three times the size of that tube, 15 grams, will only cost you €5 or €6 in the Canaries. Why is it that medicines in this country are multiple times more expensive than other countries? I'm with you on that, Breda. It's the big, big question. I mean, you could even go across the border into Newry and you can pick up medicinal products there at half the price of what we're paying here in the Republic. I don't know why that happens. With regard to HSE going to festivals, this is a progressive step forward to control drug use. We need to stop using criminal measures to tackle drug use, for it just creates a rotating circle of crime for the user. Decriminalisation of drug use with injection centres will reduce crime and drug use. This has been proven in Canada, which has such a model. Not just in Canada, but it's been proven in other countries as well. You know, sticking drug addicts in jail, whatever about the drug dealers, stick them in jail. But sticking drug users or drug addicts in jail will never, ever solve the problem. There's only one KFM. The right one, says... I can imagine what they're making of that request they got in Zambia from Gronje this morning to play a request. Hey, lads, we have a request here from Ireland. We're broadcasting around the world, as of course our own KFM broadcasts 24 hours a day around the world as well. But anyway, we'll tell you more all about that, Owen.
Yeah, let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District then and the meeting of a couple of days ago. And Social Democrats councillor Chris Pender is on the line. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Owen.
Motions that you brought forward to the meeting then, and first of all, you wanted the council to carry out a public lighting audit of the laneways and streets in Newbridge, identifying where the council is responsible for providing lighting and where private management companies are responsible.
Yeah, so the report I got on that from the council was essentially reported on report of fault or whatever. The reality is that that's not what the motion was asking for. The motion was asking for was for the council to look at where they're actually responsible for providing the streetlights and where maintenance companies, for instance, that are operating like apartment blocks and stuff like that in the area are responsible for providing them. Because I don't know if you've walked Newbridge kind of late at night, but there's one or two streets there that are essentially pitch black. Like you couldn't see your hand in front of your face walking down them. And I think we all know that people feel a lot safer when there's lighting in an area, and it's more likely to reduce antisocial behaviour. I had a very specific street in mind, I suppose, in relation to this, and it's the street kind of just down from Coffey's Laneway, as it would be called locally, because there are actually a number of bungalow houses along it, and unless they have their, I suppose you could call it a porch light, but it's not even a porch light because these people are stepping out onto double yellow lines and into the middle of a road, it is literally pitch black. So you have people who, unless they have their own lighting turned on in their house, can't see what's in the laneway. And like, as like I'm as I'm sure you're aware, everybody should be using their headlights and stuff like that in their cars when they're driving up and down laneways, but not everybody does. And I've had a number of constituents ring me basically scared because they've stepped out their front doors onto a pitch black laneway and a car has been what anybody would describe as coming out of nowhere towards them. And it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for somebody to be walking out their front door onto a busy street, well, not even a busy street, but onto a road.
Yeah.
But it's even less acceptable when the basic services of public lighting aren't even being provided for them.
If we stay in Newbridge then, Chris, and I know you had that joint motion with various other councillors regarding the cycle laneways, we've covered that in detail over the last few days, but there was also a second motion that you brought forward and you wanted the council to engage with the relevant authorities to remove, repurpose or purchase or upgrade the public telephone booths throughout the town of Newbridge that have fallen into complete disuse or disrepair. I don't think many people use telephone booths nowadays. They were obviously very important, but when you see them getting damaged and, you know, being disregarded, it kind of puts a blight on the town, does it not?
It absolutely does. And like, the thing is, while many people may not use them, there is actually a statutory obligation on the likes of AIR to actually provide payphone booths within a town. So it's not about taking them out, it's not about anything like that, but for instance, there's one I can think of specifically. It's right there beside the Bank of Ireland, and it literally has pieces of metal jutting out onto the footpath. Like, I mean, it's not acceptable. And at the end of the day, I suppose the response I got from Kildare County Council was in relation to if they need to install new ones, applying for a licence, but as well as that, the clear channel are working with AIR to roll out a programme of public payphone booths. Now, the reality is that what they're looking to roll out is suitable for a big city or kind of like somewhere like Kilkenny or something like that. They're these big, massive ones with visual advertising and stuff like that on, like video-based advertising and a small phone. They're not suitable for Newbridge. They're not suitable for most of the kind of small towns or villages in and around the area. And like, I was glad to hear that our public realm team agreed in that regard, because the last thing we want to see is the town being blighted with a million and one lit up advertising. And like, at the end of the day, they have an obligation to provide public payphones. We are not obligated to allow them to stick advertising booths that could advertise God knows what. Like, I mean, like, as it is, they have a payphone booth there that is completely destroyed on the inside. It's not operational. The roof of it's destroyed, and yet they're still allowing, for instance, DrinkAware to come out and rewrap it with DrinkAware posters and stuff like that. I've no issue with DrinkAware posters, but my issue is that while they're saying they're looking to roll out a program of public payphone upgrades, they're responsible for maintaining them in the interim. And the last thing I want to see is a utilities company essentially holding the council to ransom when it comes to the basic provision of services that they're responsible for.
Okay.
Now, we can all give out to the council and tell them that, oh, this is their responsibility, but in this instance, it is not. And it is up to AIR and Clear Channel to work with the council in the area to ensure that their upgrades are suitable for the environment and they're not just doing a one-size-fits-all.
Okay, Social Democrats councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Chris Pender. Thanks for that, Chris.